Change is one of those things that, along with taxes and death, make up the trifecta that we all need to face. And we all cope with change differently. Most, I suspect, avoid it. We like the way things are. We want to be able to carry on as they are. Don't change it. I'm kind of used to the way things are. And some thrive on it. Some love change. But you know, we all handle it differently. It's been said that the tribal wisdom of the Dakota Indians passed on from generation to generation over the centuries told warriors when it was time for change. The advice was simple. If you're in battle and you discover that you're riding a dead horse, it's time to dismount and change horses. Simple. Ancient wisdom. But you see, the trouble is we modern men think that we're smarter than the ancients. Well, you know, we've got so much more that we've learned since then. We can figure it all out. And we can deny all kinds of change. We can deny why we need it. So I want you to imagine if a group of status quo dead horse consultants met with a group of these tribal warriors. And they said, you know, look, we hear you've been having this problem of dead horses when you're in battle, but we really don't think you need to change. We have some suggestions for you. Why don't you start off and let's just get a committee appointed and we'll study dead horses. That'll kill some time, right? That'll be good. And then if necessary, we can lower the standards so that you can, in fact, ride a dead horse into battle. Or maybe what we can do is we can kind of try to fool the enemy, and yeah, we know you're sitting on a dead horse, but we can paint a sign on it which says, this horse is not dead. And, you know, maybe we'll fool some of them. Or, oh, I know, what if we get several dead horses, kind of put them together, and maybe they'll do just as well as an alive horse. Maybe you could try that. But if none of those work, our ultimate advice to you is to take this dead horse and promote it to a supervisory position. Ridiculous. But you know, we're just like these modern consultants. The fact is, every one of us is riding a dead horse, and we need to dismount. The dead horse we're riding is ourselves. Let me explain. As human beings, we are all born sinful. That means we have this innate desire at the core of our being to just do things our own way. And sometimes we can do it. We can dress it up all nice in Sunday best, and we can put a smile on our faces. But we still have this heart which says, I want to be in control. I want to do it my way. That's sin. Looks good on the outside, but it's what the Bible calls sin. It's wanting to do my own thing. We know when we think of sin, we have all these stereotypes and all these things that'll land you in jail, and we say, well, I'm not like that. But God says, all of you are riding a dead horse. It's yourself. It's your sin nature inside you that's leading you away from me. And our greatest need as the human race is to be made right with God. But the bad news is we can't do it ourselves. We can't resurrect the dead horse that we're riding. Now, we try pretty hard. Some of those ideas that the consultants threw out, you say, well, that's ridiculous. But in a sense, we do the same thing. God, look, I know you say I'm riding a dead horse, but I think if I'm good enough, or if I go to church, or if I give money to the poor, or whatever it might be, I can resurrect this horse. God is saying, no, you can't. See, trying to earn God's favor on our own terms is like riding a dead horse into battle. It just won't work. We all need a change of status. And that change of status is to be made right with God. Good Friday is a reminder to all of us that God has done everything that needed to be done so that we could be made right with him. God has done everything that needed to be done so that we could have a change of status. You can open in your Bibles to the book of Romans if you'd like. We'll be looking in Romans chapter 5. But it's very important that we understand this concept that all of us need change. in Romans chapter 5. We've been going through Romans as a church on Sunday mornings, and Romans is essentially Christian beliefs distilled into 16 chapters. It talks about the whole idea of everything that God has done so that we could be made right with him. But here is the problem. Verse 12 explains why we're all riding a dead horse. Chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. What is he saying here? Quite simply, he is going all the way back to the beginning of the world. God created the first human beings, Adam and Eve. They sinned. Adam sinned. And his sin infected all future generations so that all of us are born sinners. This means that we're born at odds with God. And if we continue in this trajectory away from God, we end up separated from him forever. That is really bad news. But that's not the end of the story. There is hope for change that matters. And later on in this passage, I'm just going to read to you from the Message, verses 15 to 17, so that you understand the flavor behind this. What God is saying is, look, because one person sinned, Adam. Now, before I go further, a lot of us like to say, well, man, you know, I can't wait till I see Adam. I'm really going to light into him when I mean say, why did you do it? The fact is, all of us would have done it if we were in his shoes. Adam sinned. That sin infected the human race. But God had a plan for us. Just as one man sinned and it affected everyone, one man was going to enter the world who would be totally righteous, the second Adam, Jesus, and he would make a way for everyone to get back on track with God. Verse 15 says, yet the rescuing gift is not exactly parallel to the death-dealing sin. If one man's sin put crowds of people at the dead-end abyss of separation from God, just think what God's gift poured through one man, Jesus Christ, will do. There's no comparison between that death-dealing sin and this generous, life-giving gift. The verdict on that one sin was the death sentence. The verdict on the many sins that followed was this wonderful life sentence. If death got the upper hand through one man's wrongdoing, can you imagine the breathtaking recovery life makes, sovereign life, in those who grasp with both hands, who believe in this wildly extravagant life gift, this grand setting everything right that the one man, Jesus Christ, provides. Picking up in verse 18 of the passage, it says this, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, all of humanity was condemned because of Adam's sin. So the one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Justification is being declared right before God. Even though all of us are guilty of sinning, God says, if you believe in what happened on the cross, you believe in Jesus, that he died for you, that he rose again, I will take your sin and junk and shame. I've put that on Jesus at the cross, and I will give you his perfection. I will declare you righteous. You are justified. And so when we stand before God in that final judgment day, he doesn't look at our sins and all the things that we regret doing. But he looks and he sees Jesus' perfection because that is what we're wrapped in when you go to the cross. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. So what God's plan is, the good news, is that the change that we all need, the dead horse that we need to stop trying to ride, is to say, Lord, I'm going to stop trying to do this by myself. I'm going to stop thinking that I can be good enough to earn your favor. I'm going to stop thinking that I can do anything to be made right with you. And I'm going to realize the fact that I'm sinful by nature. Yeah, I might be able to impress other people and look good on the outside, but I'm sinful by nature. I may need you to change me. The change of status comes when we say, Lord, I believe that Jesus died in my place and that he rose again. And this is why the cross is so important, because it was on the cross that Jesus died in our place. He lived a perfect life. He didn't have to die, yet he chose to go and take that punishment that each and every one of us deserves. He took that, and in exchange, he offers his righteousness, his perfect goodness. Becoming a Christian is humbling because it means admitting that you've been riding a dead horse all along and that you need Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' goodness, because yours is not enough. So I ask all of us, maybe you've been thinking about Christianity for a while, or maybe you're wondering what church is all about, but I'd encourage you to make today a very good Friday by believing that Jesus has done what you could never do, and that on that cross, he died in your place. His blood was shed so that you might be forgiven and be made right with God. When you call on him to be your Savior, your status changes. You are passed from death to life. And when this happens, heaven is ultimately guaranteed as your home. And this side of eternity, you have the God of the universe living inside you, giving you the strength and the power to live and experience life as it ought to be. The passage continues in verse 20. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, it's phenomenal that when you believe in Jesus and all that he did on the cross for us, God says, I will guarantee heaven as your ultimate home. But on top of that, he does even more. See, it says the law came to increase the trespass. What is that saying? It means the law, the rules and regulations you see in Scripture, define sin and condemn us. But God's grace is greater than sin. And where sin increased, where we realize we are sinning and where sin is defined, God's grace is always greater than that sin, and he offers it to us. And so, yes, Jesus died in our place so that we could be made right with God. But we must remember that in this life as well, so much more was accomplished on the cross. Because of what Jesus has done, we have the grace that we need to overcome sinful habits in our life, to grow more like Christ, to think and act and speak like him. But we'll never get to it by riding the dead horse of our own efforts. It means accepting the fact that change is needed, that we can't do it, and on the cross, Jesus has done what needed to be done. When we believe that, we're made right with God. That is the great leveling field. No one who calls himself a Christian can ever look at someone else and think, hey, I'm better than you. We all have to recognize that we are all just beggars, but we have found where the food is. It's not because we're great, it's because God is great. So Friday is a very good day, because of what happened on the cross and all that it means to us. In just a little while, we're going to be taking communion together, which is something that Jesus commanded his followers to do, those who know him as Savior, to remember what he has accomplished for us. And I'd encourage you, in just a few moments, the worship team is going to be coming up to sing a reflective song for us. Think of all that Jesus has done on the cross. Maybe you know him as Savior already, but maybe there are some things you say, Lord, I've been holding these areas of my life away from you. I've been trying to take care of this myself, and today I want to get off of that dead horse and turn to you and trust you. So I encourage you to take the next few moments just reflecting before we take communion. Reflect on all that Jesus has done and all that he has accomplished, because it is Good Friday. Without Good Friday, we would have no hope.